Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the service tonight. We're going to start. I'd like to make an introduction first and get that out of the way. What we have for us tonight in store is my son Brad and his wife Mary Kate have come to sing for us, and we've got Austin Crabtree tonight playing organ for us. So we appreciate so much their efforts and their time to come and worship with us. But welcome to the Christmas Eve service. And as we hear the good news of great joy, unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's Luke 2:10. There's no better honor than to be here tonight and have the privilege to come and worship in this house. So let's pray tonight as we worship. Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for tonight. God, we thank you, Almighty God, for just sending your Son, Jesus, Lord, to come in a manger, to live a humble life and to just sacrifice, Lord, and to serve and to do what he did, Lord, for mankind. And we thank you that he went to the cross and that he died for our sins, and Lord, that we can be forgiven through everything that he did through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for just the honor and the privilege to be here tonight, God, and to have the freedom to worship and to come celebrate your life and your birth. Father, we thank you so much for just loving us, and we just pray that you would be in our midst tonight as we sing and as Brother Chris speaks. Lord, we just pray that you would anoint his words and just, Lord, speak through him. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand as we sing Away in a Manger.
Sky, look down where we Let's try this one more time. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's do that one more time. Merry Christmas. I know y'all can feel the excitement in the air, right? Everybody up until this point, at this time of the year, has waited for this day because this is the day that Santa Claus comes. And I know y'all can't wait to see what is under the tree tomorrow, right? Right? Come on, y'all want to hear some excitement this afternoon. We are here to worship our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen? Y'all bear with me just a minute. Sometimes I like to think outside the box. And when I was thinking about this message, all I could think about was this. 'Twas the night before Christmas. And all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds with visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window, I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. And when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. 'Twas the night before Christmas. Arguably, the best Christmas poem that has ever been written and is an inseparable part of the Western tradition of Christmas. Just like songs like We Wish You a Merry Christmas and Jingle Bells and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. And y'all help me out with this one. Are y'all ready? We got to sing. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Oh, yes, he is. Santa Claus is coming to town. Man, it's Christmas. I smell the excitement in the air. My son told my wife, he said, Daddy, I want you to put some Christmas cheer in your sermon tonight. This is my Christmas cheer, y'all. Man, it's Christmas. And excitement is in the air. I love Christmas. I love seeing all the lights. I love Christmas trees and the manger scene. I love the movie, The Christmas Story. I love the movie about Ralphie when he gets his Red Ryder BB gun. And my favorite part is probably where he goes and he sticks his tongue on the pole. And the reason why that's my favorite part, because that's probably something that I would have done when I was a kid. Been persuaded by some kids to do something that I shouldn't have done that was absolutely ridiculously stupid. And then just get stuck with it. That would have been me. I love that movie. I love the traditions. You know, the Christmas season is supposed to be a time of year that brings joy and excitement, and it fills everybody with anticipation for what they've been longing for all year. Most of the time, people are so excited about Christmas, they can't even make it to Thanksgiving before all of the Christmas lights go up. Santa Claus makes his appearance as soon as the Halloween decorations go down every single year. And every year, as long as I can remember, it seems like the focus of Christmas has been shopping. More than anything, it seems to me like the focus of Christmas has been shopping. If you think about it, the day after Thanksgiving is called what? Black Friday, and people will go. I just think it's lunacy, to be honest with you. People will go, and I'm not talking about anybody in here, so disclaimer, I'm not talking about you. Even though you were camped out outside that store in 2-degree weather to see if you could get there before anybody else. People will go and they'll stand in lines to try to get into these stores. I mean, as soon as the Thanksgiving meal is over with now, they don't even wait till Friday to open the store. You can go in early now on Thanksgiving Day. And then on Monday after Thanksgiving, we have what's called what? Cyber Monday. And you can get all of these deals. Supposed to get all of these good deals on all of these goods. And during this season, we are encouraged to buy things that, number one, we can't afford, with money that most of us don't have, and to give to people that we're not even sure if we really like at all. We end up dressing up. We end up going to parties. We end up spending time with family and friends that we only see a couple of times a year. A lot of people end up traveling, finding a way to get over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. You know, there's nothing wrong with this stuff. I love everything about Christmas. I love everything about the holiday, this time of the year. And being an educator, any educators in here, any teachers in here besides us? We love it because we're out of school, y'all. I mean, we love it because during this time of the year, we're out of school. The kids are out of school. We have something to look forward to. I think the Christmas holidays, even in a worldly sense, is a necessity in this world. Because there's got to be at least one day a year in this world that we live in that reminds us that we are here for something greater than ourselves. Everything that I mentioned, is excellent. The holiday tradition, the family reunions, the presents. But it seems to me like most of the Western world has truly forgotten something. It's like we've truly forgotten a main ingredient. We've truly forgotten the real reason for the season, the real reason for Christmas. I can assure you this, that Jesus Christ was not born into this world to create a secular holiday that is so commercialized and fantasized so much that he would not even be recognized at his own birthday party. The real reason why we have this Christmas holiday is truly to celebrate Jesus. It's truly to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, the promised Messiah, the prophesied Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. That's why we have Christmas. But somewhere in the middle of the hustle and bustle of the holiday traffic, and somewhere in the middle of getting gifts and wrapping paper and reindeer feed and whatever else it is, the Christmas meal nap. How many of you, be honest, how many of you tomorrow after you eat a Christmas meal, you're going to take a nap because you gorge yourself so much that you just can't stay awake no more? How many of you are going to overeat tomorrow? Yeah. How many of you got an early start? The world tends to forget what Christmas is all about in the midst of all of the hustle and bustle. And what that is Christmas is about the Father's Son, the Father's gift to us, which is the Son. And I'm here today to tell you that this Christmas season, the world may have forgotten about Him, but He has not forgotten about you. He loves you. And I want you to realize that He has given us the Christmas season and everything that comes along with it to not only celebrate the birth of His Son, but to accept the gift of His Son. Amen? If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to open it up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'm not going crazy today. I'm going to the Christmas story, y'all. And while you're flipping there, let me tell you, I thought about this as I was preparing and I was praying. And I thought to myself, the Jewish people had to have wondered 2,000 years ago if God had forgotten about them. See, for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, He had provided them with His guidance and His providence and His hand. He had provided miracles and wonders and signs to lead them. But then we come to, in the Bible, we come to the end of Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, and there's a 400-year period where there's nothing between Malachi and Matthew. And during this 400-year period, you have to imagine that the Jewish people were going, God, what's going on? What happened? We were getting all these messages from all these prophets, and we had all of these signs and wonders, and now there's no signs and wonders, and there's no prophecy, and there's nothing. Nothing for 400 years. Where was the Messiah? Where was the one that was supposed to be born of a virgin in the line of Abraham, the descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Where was the one who was supposed to be from the tribe of Judah, the hailed heir of David's throne, the Savior of the world that was supposed to take the sins of the world away? Where was the one who was supposed to be called the Son of God? Where was the Messiah? Where was the Savior? Where was the Christ child? Had God forgotten about them? And then suddenly, I love how God does this. He does it all the time in Scripture. Every time you read in Scripture and you see the word but, and it's all throughout Scripture, but every time you see the word but, God is fixing to flip the switch, and He's fixing to make something that was unfavorable into something that is favorable. He is fixing to go, ta-da! And 400 years after the last message, the last prophetic message from God, 400 years later, God says, here I am. I haven't forgot about you. And I'm right on time in Luke chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, I want you to follow along with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they greatly were afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Somebody say joy this evening. Say joy this evening. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, glory to God. Say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The Messiah had arrived. Jesus had arrived. God had not forgotten His people. The one who was going to save the world had arrived on the scene. The long-awaited King was finally here. How many of you in here in your lifetime have ever been wrestling fans? Raise your hand. Let me see a show of hands. Anybody? Come on, y'all. Yeah, there's a lot of y'all in the back. You're not showing me your hands. I was a wrestling fan. I used to love to watch the WWE. And I used to love to watch The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Y'all know the name from some of the action movies that he's in now. But I used to love to watch The Rock. And every time he was going somewhere, he was making an entrance. He would walk down the ramp, and there would be his entrance music. And when he would go down there, he would get a microphone, and he would say, finally, The Rock has come back to whatever city he was in, to Vicksburg. I can imagine me, because my imagination runs wild. I can imagine Jesus walking down a ramp, and there'd be thousands of people everywhere like WrestleMania, and Jesus saying, finally, the Messiah has arrived in Bethlehem. But that's not how it happened, is it? But I can imagine that. I can imagine the Christmas story kind of going like that. But Jesus didn't happen like that. The Bible says in verse 13, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. It wasn't a crowd like a WrestleMania event or anything like that, but there was a multitude. With the angel, there was a multitude. You see, this event was too important to be heralded by one angel. Just one? Come on. All of heaven was interested in the departure of its prince, and they marveled at the grace of his Father who sent him. Say grace with me this evening.
Grace.
Grace. What is grace? Grace is that unmerited favor that God gives us even when we don't deserve it. God gave us the miraculous gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, on Christmas morning, who ultimately would die to save us from our sins, even though we should be the ones that pay for our sins. Amen? But He gave us grace. And here we see the announcement of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by an army of angels to to a group of shepherds in a field. Then on top of that, if you go back in Luke to 2 verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." You know, we greatly romanticize the Christmas story, where there is this peaceful looking Christmas card appropriate nativity scene, where there's a peaceful looking Mary holding this baby that never cries, this somber looking Joseph, and all of these peaceful animals around them, and the wise men on the side with their gifts. And the reason we do that is because we, as humans, we have a selfish tendency to be impressed by, number one, the finer things in life, and also the most peaceful things in life. We want to imagine things a little bit better than they are oftentimes. We can oftentimes paint a picture of less favorable conditions in a peace and a calmness because of our own selfishness. Amen? That's why so many people nowadays, and I'm getting off track here a little bit, but I promise you I won't chase this rabbit down the hole too long. That's why people nowadays, they see nothing wrong with the way that they're living their lives. They see nothing wrong with their own sinfulness, and they continuously make up excuses and keep doing stuff and living the way that they're living, even though they know it's wrong. I can't tell you as a pastor how many times I've heard somebody say, "Well, you can't judge me." Or how many times someone has said, "Well, God understands the circumstances that I'm in right now." Or a loving God is not going to send somebody to hell. Or, "Well, church can't save me, so why do I need to go to church?" And the list goes on and on and on and on. But these are the top four, and I'm going to address them. All right, y'all ready for this? Are you ready? Everybody say ready. Okay, here we go. Number one, no judgment here, only truth from the Word of God. Only truth from the Word of God. Number two, God loves you no matter what circumstance you may find yourself in your life, and He will provide you with the strength and the wisdom and the guidance to get out of it if it's against His will. Only if you are willing to accept His Son Jesus and accept His guidance for your life. You want to get out of it? Call on Him. And I promise you, He'll listen. Y'all seen Richard Schwartz on TV? He says, "One call, that's all." That's the way it is. All you got to do is call on Him. Number three, God wants everybody to go to heaven. But if you don't trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Lord and Savior, to take care of your sin problem in your life, your selfishness and your sin are going to be what sends you to hell. God's not going to send you. You're going to send yourself. Because you decided to reject the gift that God has offered you for free. And that's the gift of salvation. By trusting in the blood, death, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus. Number four, you're right. Church can't save you. But if you love God, you're going to love God's people and you're going to love God's house. Amen? Amen. Say amen one more time. Amen. And everybody who said amen, I got to see you in church on Sunday. And back to my point. It's so odd to me that the King of creation, the one that was, the one that is and is to come, He came into the world of fickle humanity in this way. There was no grand entrance. There was no ramp. There was no microphone. This wasn't a Holiday Inn He went to. This was a stable. It may even have been a cave. And I guarantee you that it was stinky in that cave. that those animals were stinky. They were making all kinds of noise. And Mary didn't lay Jesus in a bassinet or a peaceful looking little bed thing. She laid him in a feed trough. And what the shepherds saw was not that Christmas card nativity scene that we want to envision for ourselves. And yes, the wise men did follow the star. And yes, they did take the Christ child gifts. But he was 2 years old by the time they got to him. He wasn't a baby swaddled in, and laying in a manger. What a stark contrast that the King of the world came the way that he came. What a strange contrast that at that particular time there was idolatry on the throne in the person of Augustus Caesar, and then the king, the Prince of Peace, was laying in a stable in a food trough. Isn't it ironic how Scripture says that they didn't have room for Joseph and Mary and Jesus in the inn? Because today, in this world that we live in today, people don't have room or make very little room for Jesus in their lives. Sure, they tell you, Jesus is the reason for the season. Everybody says that, especially in the South. But they make very little time in their lives outside this holiday for Jesus Christ. Today there are a lot of people in this world that they want to call themselves Christians, and they know a lot about Jesus, but truly they don't know Him. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to bear the fruit of who is sitting on the throne of your heart. And there's a huge difference in being religious and having a true relationship with Christ Jesus. Tomorrow, we're all going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the only person who ever came to this world, who was ever born into history with the sole purpose of dying for somebody else. Did you realize that? He is the only person ever born to come into history to die for somebody else. And He came to die for you. Wow. He was born to die. Jesus Christ was born on Christmas morning 2,000 years ago. Born to live 33 years of perfect life and then die on the cross at Calvary to pay the penalty for our sins. Wow. That was His purpose. Have you accepted His free gift of salvation by placing your faith and your trust in His sacrifice? Have you trusted God's greatest Christmas gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Lord and your Savior? If so, then today is a great day that you can ask yourself, does my life reflect that I have? Does my life actually reflect that I am a Christ follower? If I was in court on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence from my life that I will be found guilty of being a Christian? Matthew wrote, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, as I think about the hustle and the bustle of the holidays, man, I rode through town today, and it's nuts. It is absolutely crazy. All the people trying to get out and get these last-minute gifts, people rushing, spending money they don't have, trying to find favor by giving a gift to somebody. They're trying to find favor from that person. But I have to ask you, have you found favor in Father God by accepting His free Christmas gift of His Son? Jesus Christ was born in the terrible conditions that He was born in 2,000 years ago so that you and I, rich and poor, white and black, whoever we may be, wherever we may be from, in whatever situation that we are in, so that we would have the opportunity to go to heaven. John 2:2, it says, He Himself was the atoning sacrifice for not only our sins, but the sins of the whole entire world. So this Christmas, I want you to remember that no matter where you are, no matter where you are from, no matter what situational mess you are dealing with in your life right now, there is a God in heaven who loves you. And Christmas is truly a time when we celebrate that love. He has not forgotten about us. He loves us. Maybe today you need to make sure that your life reflects who your Savior is. Maybe today you need to take an inventory of who you are as a Christ follower and say, you know what? There's a couple of things that I need to change, and today I am going to do that because I have accepted God's free gift of salvation. And I'm going to live from Him from this point forward. Maybe today you're struggling with something. You don't know how you're going to move forward, but I'm here to tell you, with that gift comes an abundant life in history. You get eternal life. And you also get an abundant life here in history. And I'm telling you, He wants to hear from you. And any mess that you're dealing with, I promise you, He can guide you through that mess. Maybe you haven't accepted Him as Lord and Savior. I want you to listen to me. And I want everybody within the sound of my voice, whether you're in here in this sanctuary or whether you're watching live on Facebook, that Father God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be born a virgin, to die on a cross to pay for our sins. Every single one of our sins, past, present, and future. And on the third day after His death, He rose again. And today He sits at the right hand of the Father, and He is in heaven. He's interceding for us right now. He's waiting for our Father's instruction for Him to say, Son, go get my children. And one day, very soon, He's coming back. If you haven't accepted the gift and placed your faith in the blood, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in this moment in time, if you haven't done it, right now you can be saved as sure as the chair you are sitting on is blue. You can be saved and your salvations can be secured and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't have to worry about anything else because your eternity is secure in Christ Jesus. All you have to do is accept the greatest gift that God has given us, and that is the Son. As I close, I want to share with you a story that I heard many, many years ago. And it was about a wealthy man. Some of you might have heard this story. It's about a wealthy man who shared his love of collecting art with his only son. And in their collection, they had millions and millions of dollars of paintings. They had Picassos and Van Goghs. They had all of these priceless works of art that were adorning their family's home. But as the nation was engulfed in war, the son got drafted and he had to go to war. After the son had been gone for a little while, there was a telegram that came for the father, and it said that the son had been killed in war. You can imagine what that did to the father, because he got the news of his only son being killed in battle, and he was distraught and lonely. And the Christmas season was approaching. The Christmas holiday was approaching, and all he had was anguish and sadness. The joy of the season vanished. The joy of having a son. But on Christmas morning, there was a knock on this father's door. It actually awakened him. So as he woke up and walked through the halls of the family's home trying to get to the door, he looked at all of the photos or the paintings and reminded him that the son was not coming back home. And that depression, it kind of overtook him. But he finally opened the door. And as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier. And this soldier had a large package in his hand. And he said, "Sir, I was a friend of your son's. And I was wondering if I may come in and share something with you this morning." So the father led him in the house. And the soldier mentioned that his son was killed saving him. That he was the soldier that his son was saving when he got killed. And he said, "I want to tell you how grateful I am for your son. And I also want you to know that I'm an artist." And he gave the father that rather large package that he had. The father opened it up, and it was a painting of his son. As he looked at that painting, he knew it wasn't one of the works of genius. Didn't even compare to one of the works that was on the walls of the family's home. But it had such a striking resemblance to the son, and it had so much striking detail of the son in the picture. The father was overcome with emotion, and he moved millions of dollars worth of artwork off of the mantle above the fireplace, and he put the painting of the son. And for the rest of that Christmas day, he looked at that painting. That painting became his favorite. Out of all the millions of dollars worth of paintings, that painting became his favorite. The following spring, the father took a turn for the worst, and he died. And everybody knew about the father's art collection. And the whole world, the whole art world, waited in anticipation for the day that they were going to auction off this wonderful and priceless art exhibit. All of these paintings worth millions and millions of dollars. The father's will said that the paintings had to be auctioned on Christmas Day, which was the day that he received his greatest gift. The auction began with a painting that was not on anybody else's list. It was the painting of the son. The auctioneer said, "Can I get a bid of $100? And nobody said anything. Then somebody finally, after a little while, said, "Nobody wants this painting. Let's get to the good stuff." The auctioneer said, "I'm sorry, sir. This has to be sold first. Can I get a bid? Anybody, can I get a bid?" One of the old man's neighbors said, "I would love to have the painting because I knew the young man, but I only have $10. So the auctioneer said, "$10 going once, going twice. So, cheers filled the room. that same voice said, "Now we can get to the good stuff." The auctioneer looked at the room full of people and he said, "Thank you for coming. The auction is over." Everyone was stunned. Somebody spoke up and said, "What do you mean it's over? There's millions of dollars worth of paintings back there. Why can't we bid on those millions of dollars worth of paintings here?" And the auctioneer replied very simply as he closed his book, "According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all." Whoever takes the Son gets it all. Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? The message is the same this Christmas. Father God loves us. He loves me and He loves you, and He definitely hasn't forgotten about us. We are His greatest masterpieces. So in His grace and His mercy, He says, "If you take my Son, you get it all." Found only in the Son, Jesus Christ, an abundant life here in history, an everlasting life in eternity. John 1:12 says, "To all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." This Christmas, remember that there is nothing more important than remembering the real reason for this holiday season. It's not the presents. It's not Santa Claus. It's not even holiday traditions or family time. It's the fact that for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus, and we thank You, Father, for Your word, and we thank You, Father, for this message. And I pray, Father God, that it resonates into our hearts. Father, we know the true and real reason for the season, and that is to celebrate the birth of Your Son, Christ Jesus, who came to live a life that we can't live, to pay a price that we can't pay, and die a death that we can't die, so that we have a way to make it to heaven, so that our salvation is secure, so that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, and we get to spend eternity with You. And Father God, we thank You and we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace and Your mercy that You shed upon us each and every day, Father. We thank You for Your love, Lord, that is continuous, even when we turn our backs upon You. Lord, we thank You for Christmas. We thank You for the joy, for the excitement. We thank You for the hope. And it's in Jesus Christ's name, Father, that we say we love You. In the precious and powerful name of Your Son. Amen. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to hang out after the service today, and I want to talk to you, because there's no time like today to make sure that you get to go to heaven. Praise God for that greatest Christmas gift of His Son, Jesus. Amen? God bless you.
Remain comfortably seated as we sing Silent Night.
God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.